Donald Trump, he had no choice. Welcome back. Phil Mushnick was great.
Very introspective.
Yes, he was. Let's get into it with Anthony Scaramucci. We do have Mike Vaccaro coming by next hour. Mike will talk about the latest Met loss, another debacle. And, of course, the big golf event, where I believe Mooch shot a 72 at Shinnecock last week.
Come on.
The U.S. Open gets going tomorrow. Mooch, did you shoot a 72 at Shinnecock last week?
I actually did shoot a 72 in the first three holes. I just want to make sure that you got them clear on that.
Okay? Wait a second. You're this multi-millionaire, great-looking guy, own restaurants, you're brilliant. There's no living on in Manhasset. There's no way you're going to tell me you're not a big-time golfer.
I've got too much attention deficit for the golf. I'll tell you what, though. My older brother, with no BS, is a deer scratch golfer. But no, I don't really play golf. But I'll go out with you guys. Okay, we'll have a lot of fun.
Oh, we're the worst. We're the worst.
We're like you.
Yeah,
attention deficit.
Unfortunately, I'm more like you guys. I like talking more than hitting a gobble.
Go ahead.
What do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about the disaster situation?
I'll tell you what.
House of Pain? What do you want to... You want to talk about John Travolta? Because I was like practicing those moves from 2001. You know, remember the dance club?
Sure,
absolutely.
It was 2001 Space Odyssey in Brooklyn. Why don't you pick it, Mooch? You're the guest. Where do you want to start?
So, you know, I saw the Gotti film over the weekend with John. John and John Gotti Jr. invited me to the film. And then yesterday, obviously, he was out there for the 40th anniversary of Saturday Night Fever. And so we all grew up with that. And what was so interesting about that time, and my sister sent me a piece from my yearbook. If you were Italian growing up in New York, Tony Manero was the guy. So it's just interesting. We're fast-forwarding here 40 years, and it's still a lot of those elements are all in all.
You say if you were Italian, I made this point with Bernie on this show often in our 3 years together. I'm Jewish, Sidney Rosenberg. To this day, Anthony, I'm pissed at my parents that I am Jewish, because as a Jewish kid growing up in Brooklyn and going to Poly Prep, I wanted to be Tony Manero.
Yeah, we all did. We all wanted to be him. And by the way, the only problem with Tony Manero, I showed up dressed like Tony Manero at my first Goldman Sachs interview. That didn't go over super well, you know? They were looking at me like, dude, you are 100% polyester, and you're like almost fully flammable. You got to go home and get some real clothes. But it was fine. I mean, I was a little embarrassing, but I figured it out after that.
Well, you know, while we're on the topic, Anthony Scaramucci, of Italian Americans, an Italian American who is held in high regard, who used to be anyway, by the Italian American and by all Americans, is Robert De Niro. But he's been on such a vicious tear lately that I think that's changing. I don't know. How is that for Anthony Scaramucci?
Well, I mean, listen, he's had an incredible acting career, but I think what's happening now is that our civil discourse is coarsening. And so when he goes up there on national TV and says something like that, it's out of bounds. And now their response will be, well, the president's been out of bounds for 2 years and so on and so forth. And so, again, I'm not here to defend the president. There's some things that he does that obviously all of us scratch our heads about. But what we can't do as a society is break out into a verbal civil war. We got to have a little bit more civility. And so when he's doing that, he probably doesn't realize it, but he's turning off even people that are Democrats. He's turning off all the Trump supporters for sure. But like you guys, I try to make the arguments without that bellicosity, because all it does is it causes people to tune out a little bit.
He's not a smart guy. He's not a very brilliant man. He's a stupid fucker, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, not the right call. You know,
no.
So for me, you know, people get upset with me. They may not like my opinion, they may not like my point of view, but at least I'm trying to have a civil conversation with them that's somewhat dispassionate, you know.
Yeah, no question.
Without doing nonsense. But and also that everyone getting up and cheering. Yeah. Is, guys, you know, get out of the group think and start thinking like individuals. We all know what's appropriate and what isn't appropriate. And by the way, you guys are close to the president, I'm close to the president. I've called balls and strikes on the air, and called balls and strikes with him personally. So, I mean, you know, we know right from wrong, and we should try to stick on the side of good.
But he did know, of course, his audience. Every great performer knows his audience, and the audience at the Tony Awards was going to give Robert De Niro exactly what he got and what you just talked about. Moving away from Robert, though, of course, the big news, the president goes to Singapore on Monday. I personally, Anthony, am really skeptical that this guy's going to follow through. And I'm not even sure exactly what is in the details of this agreement, but I am willing to give Donald Trump a major amount of credit just by sitting down with the guy and making this happen. Again, I have zero confidence that it's all going to come to fruition, but it doesn't matter. With that said, how is it possible that anybody could be criticizing President Trump for this sit down?
Well, I mean, the first thing I'll say, though, is that the world is safer today than it was a year ago with a dial back of that rhetoric and the agreement, at least to stop the missile testing and the nuclear testing. And so we'll have to see if it pans out. But I do believe that directionally, the world is safer. Secondarily, you know, as we go through the process of Trump derangement syndrome, I mean, I can't even watch Morning Joe anymore. I call it morning eating crow. I mean, these guys are eating crow every morning.
It's killing
them.
They're
super wickedly upset. They're pedantic. They're sanctimonious. They're talking down to viewers that want policies that promote American working class families and want policies that promote the American middle class. And so, yeah, the president has a unique operating style. He has a very sharp elbow, maybe two sharp elbows, but he is delivering. And if you look at the results of his delivery, lowest African-American unemployment in our history of recording it, lowest Hispanic-American unemployment in our history of recording it. And not to bore you guys, but I am trained as an economist. The U6 number, which is the most aggressive number, is down below 7%, and it was at 18-19% during the crisis. So the president has done a masterful job of putting policies in place, restructuring the tax code, and deregulating in a way where you can unleash economic growth and activity and wages. And so what I cannot figure out is why they can't offer some level of balance to the discussion. So I hear you that there's too simple and not enough granularity to the current agreement with the North Koreans. But it is a start, and this guy is an entrepreneur, and he's an extreme risk taker, as we all know. And I'm very proud of him, and I'm very proud to be an American, that they were sitting there together trying to work on a deal for peace. Because at the end of the day, that's better for our children and our grandchildren.
And nobody works harder than this man, President. Nobody works harder. I mean, he went 25 hours without sleep, at least. And this is a far cry from the days when they were threatening Guam, firing missiles over Japan. The Hawaiians were running for cover and diving into holes with a lot. I mean, no, this is a new order right now, and he got it done.
Yeah, and by the way, if he can execute it, and I understand the skepticism, but if he can execute it, boy, I'll tell you what, he's going to ride his way into another big win. He'll probably get a landslide, you know, popular vote and electoral vote. But here's the thing, and I said this to Brian Kilmeade the other day, no drinking, no smoking.
Yes.
He's 72 years old on Thursday, and this cat can fly around the world. He can bounce from the G7 meetings over to Singapore. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Singapore, but that is the longest flight in the world. Mm-hmm. That flight, I'm sure they had to refuel Air Force One somewhere over the Pacific to make that flight direct to Washington.
Wow.
And so I just give you a sense for this guy's work ethic and what his capability is and what his skill set is. And also, if you're going to go against him, you got to be a little careful. Mark Stanford, who I respect as a conservative, he lost his primary. You've got something going on in Staten Island now, and I know the president endorsed Donovan. I went with Grimm because Grimm is a personal friend.
So did we.
But Donovan has voted against the president. Okay, but the president, being a good team player, has to side with Kevin McCarthy and the majority in the Senate, and I understand all that. But Donovan has voted against the president, and he voted against him three times.
Yep.
And so, you know, and by the way, you know, people will say, well, Grimm did this, he did that, but you know what? He served his time. Okay, and we are a nation now that has to look at our prison situation and look at the way people are going to prison and we have to redial that or redesign that as well.
We are all in for Grimm as well.
We are in for Grimm. So listen, before we let you run here, Mooch does me a big favor last week. Our buddy Bernard Robert Wall, a.k.a. Arliss on HBO, calls me and says, listen, I need two for the Mets and the Orioles. So I reach out to Mooch, and it took less than an hour, and Mooch has his guy text me back, and in fact got Robert Wall, Arliss, two great tickets for the Met game. But it turns out Robert didn't realize it was an afternoon game against the Orioles. He was taping some commercial, so he didn't take them. But Anthony was still very, he was still very, very nice. You know, offered him the tickets. But now I would have to think, Anthony, that you can't give away these tickets. Who wants them?
Well, that's the thing. I was just going to say that to you guys. I pray every day that the tickets become so tight that the team can actually start winning. But the problem is, once again, it's a combination of players that are too old, past their prime, too many early stage injuries, and then if you can't get your starting pitching into the seventh inning, you're blowing out your bullpen before the All-Star break. So here we are again. I just want to take everybody back before I leave to April, where we won April. I have a participation trophy for the two of you guys, you know, the way those kids win ninth place in soccer. And so at least the Mets won April. And I was counting on the 73% chance that the Mets were going to make the playoffs when they were 10 games over 500 coming out of April. So their chances now of making the playoffs are under 30%. So here we are again, fellas, and I'm very proud to say to your listeners that I have four sons that I am torturing the way you guys have been tortured with the Mets.
Okay? That's right. So it builds character.
No question. They're deep into it. The Yankees will go on to win 27 more championships, and we'll be sitting over here in Queens with a blanket, a bottle, and our thumbs in our mouth.
It really is unbelievable. But listen, before we let you go, tonight it's Appointment TV on the Colbert Show. Anthony Scaramucci will be appearing with Stormy Daniels' lawyer, Michael Avenatti. Wow. How about that at the same time?
How much fun is that, okay? I've been literally on like a slim fast diet for the last 3 days. I'm trying to tighten up a little bit, right?
Well, listen.
The truth of the matter is, I think it'll be an interesting time, and where I said to Michael in the pre-production, let's try to make it civil. We obviously on different points of view, but I think directionally, America wants more civility, wants more discourse, less coarseness.
It ain't going to be, Anthony, that guy is a bad guy. He's Michael Avenatti, to paraphrase Colbert, he is the biggest dick that Stormy Daniels ever seen.
Let me tell you this. I'm prepared for anything, as I have been my entire life. So let's see what happens.
But it's going to be great.
I'm excited. I'm excited to go on, and I'm flooding the zone with all the Italians from Manhasset, because I'm telling you right now, it's going to be like a Yankee playing in Fenway Park.
Kick his ass, man. Come on, we'll be watching. We're rooting for you.
Flooding the zone with my teammates. All right, but God bless you guys. Have a great day, and we'll get over the hump on Wednesday.
All right, Anthony. Good luck tonight. It's going to be great. Once again, as Bernard just mentioned, check it out later on tonight. Anthony Scaramucci on Colbert with Michael Avenatti.